Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records number 1273, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this week's show, we're going to have a segment about one of my favorite foods, bear some aches and pains, have a dopey set, and celebrate the birthday of Rudolf Frimmel. We're going to start tonight's program with another edition of One Thing in Common. You remember, that's where we play a set of rapidly rotating records which seemingly have nothing whatsoever to do with each other, yet have one thing in common. Here to start things off is Old Banjo Eyes.
Johnny was bashful and shy. Nobody understood why Mary loved him. All the other girls passed him by. Everyone wanted to know how she could pick such a bow with a twinkle in her eye. She made this reply: he's not so good in a crowd, but when you get him alone, you'd be surprised. He isn't much at a dance, but when he's taking you home, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look like much of a lover, but you can't judge a book by its cover. He's got the face of an angel, but there's a devil in his eye. He's such a delicate thing, but when he's starting to squeeze, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knees, you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, I've got to admit that he's nothing at all. But in a Morris chair, you'd be surprised. Mary continued to praise Johnny's remarkable ways to the lady. And you know advertising pays. Now Johnny's never alone. He has the busiest phone almost every other day. A new girl will say he's not so good in the house, but on a bench in the park, you'd be surprised. He isn't much in the light, but when he gets in the dark, you'd be surprised. I know he looks as slow as the Erie, but you don't know the half of it, dearie. He looks as cold as an Eskimo, but there's fire in his eyes. He doesn't say very much, but when he's starting to speak, you'd be surprised. He's not so good at the start, but at the end of a week, you'd be surprised. On a streetcar or in a train, you'd think he was born without any brain. But in a taxi cab, oh boy, you'd be surprised.
I love your loving arms, they hold a world of charms, a place to nestle when I am lonely. A cozy Morris chair, oh what a happy pair. One caress, happiness, seems to bless my little honey. I love you more each day, when years have passed away, you'll find my love belongs to you only. 'Cause when the world seems wrong, I know that I belong right in my honey's loving arms. I love your loving arms, they seem to hold a world of charms, a place to nestle when I am lonely. Just a cozy Morris chair, oh what a happy pair. One caress, happiness, seems to bless my little honey. I love you more each day, when years have passed away. You'll find my love belongs to you only. 'Cause when the world seems wrong, I know that I belong right in my honey's loving arms. Oh, when the world seems wrong, I know that I belong right in my honey's loving arms.
Four walls seem to be my only company. all by myself. It's so dreary watching the clock on the shelf. There must be someone knows the loving I could be giving, yet I keep on living all by myself.
We started this edition of One Thing in Common with Eddie Cantor and You'd Be Surprised, written by Irving Berlin. That's from Emerson's 78, number 10102, released in January of 1920. Eddie Cantor was followed by Der Bingle with My Honey's Lovin' Arms, written by Herman Ruby and Joseph Meyer. It was first recorded by the Virginians on March 22, 1922. Joining Bing on this January 26, 1933 recording were the Mills Brothers and the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra on Brunswick 6525. We finished up with another Irving Berlin song, All By Myself. That was Aileen Stanley on Victor 18774, made May 16, 1921. So, what do those three records have in common? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Until next week. I'm going to let you tell me. If you think you know what the common thread is, send an email to Glenn with two N's at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. And no, it's not so simple as they're all vocals. That's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. And thanks for playing One Thing in Common. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Back in the early 1900s, during the golden age of rail travel, since the rail cars were all from the same manufacturer and travel times were pretty much the same, one of the few ways the major passenger lines could set themselves apart was through the food they served on the train. In 1908, Hazen Titus was the superintendent of dining cars for the Northern Pacific Railway, and he was aboard NP's flagship passenger train, the North Coast Limited, when he overheard a conversation between two farmers lamenting that there was no market for the potatoes grown on their Yakima Valley farms because they were simply too big. Delicate petite potatoes were preferred across the country, but since Titus could buy the oversized spuds for a pittance, he experimented with different cooking methods to overcome the problem of the tubers being overcooked on the outside, but still raw on the inside. He came up with a special rack with a kebab-like spike that transferred heat into the center of the potato, providing even cooking throughout. The perfect potato was 2 pounds and took 2 hours of baking, but came out tender and fluffy and was topped with a generous pat of butter. They were first served aboard the North Coast Limited in February 1909, costing just one thin dime, and for the next 50 years, they were the centerpiece of Northern Pacific's marketing campaign, with the line becoming known as the Root of the Great Big Baked Potato. The rival Great Northern Railway answered with their improbably large baked Wenatchee apple, cored and filled with sugar, offered at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So for this segment, here's a set of rapidly rotating records about, you guessed it, potatoes. Thank you.
da 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 da. I mean, you made me feel so blue. I don't know what the world your good man gone to. Oh, do that thing. I never seen the light. I mean, since I've been born. I mean, you don't know, baby, this how I feel.
Thank you.
Last played in 2002, Louis Armstrong and his Hot 7 with Potato Head Blues, an Armstrong original, recorded in Chicago on May 10, 1927, with Take C, issued on OK 8503. Before that, the Savoy Hotel Orpheans as the Masqueraders with The Baked Potato Man, written by Leslie Cerrone. Carol Gibbons did double duty directing the band and playing piano on that October 27, 1932 recording, issued on British Columbia CB-519. We started with Hot Potatoes, recorded around April of 1928. The original issue on Paramount 12673 credits Blind Blake, but the reissue on the Century label credits Johnny Dodds, clarinet, with Blind Blake, vocal and guitar, and Jay Bertrand, that would be Jimmy Bertrand, on woodblocks and etc. The etc. including that wild slide whistle obbligato. As we age, we all become subject to various aches and pains, and I've got at least my share. I can't share those with you, but I can share these rapidly rotating records about aches and pains.
I'm gonna leave here today if I have to walk. Every night I've been here, it's been the whole town talk, or it's a pain to me. It's a pain to me. I'm having so much trouble. It's a pain to me. I don't be happy no more. I've done got it bad. Thinking of the money that I once have had. It's a pain to me. It's a pain to me. I'm having so much trouble. It's a pain to me.
Thank you.
I've played Fud Livingston's Feelin' No Pain by Red Nickel several times on the show, but that's the first time for Lud Gluskin and his Versatile Juniors, and their March 16, 1928 recording made in Paris on Pathé C8535. Before that, another Triple R debut for the Mississippi Shakes, and It's a Pain to Me on Paramount 13143, made in July of 1932. The Mississippi Shakes were Lonnie Chatman on violin and vocal, and Walter Vinson on guitar. We started the set with Lou Gold and his orchestra with the vocal by Lou Abelardo and Aching Heart, written by Lou Gold. Velvet Tone 2348-V was recorded March 17, 1931. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. This and all of our previous shows are also available 24/7, on demand, anytime at all, online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. On last week's West Coast Ragtime Festival recap show, I was going to play Powder Rag and Dope by Fred Van Epps, but ran out of time. So here it is to start off a dope set. Thank you.
Just give me one more sniffle, another sniffle of that dough. Just give me one more sniffle, another sniffle of that dough. I'll catch a cow like a cowboy and throw a bull without a rope. Than Henry Ford or John D. ever had. Doggone, got more money than Henry Ford or John D. ever had. I bit a dog last Monday, and 40 doggone dogs went mad. Like a fighting rooster, feeling better than I ever felt. Feel like a fighting rooster, feel better than I ever felt. Got double pneumonia, and still I think I got the best health.
Thank you.
The musical duo of Slim and Slam with Dopey Joe from Vocalion 4521, released November 17, 1938. Slim and Slam were Bewley Gaylord, better known as Slim, who wrote Dopey Joe, and Leroy Elliott Stewart, known as Slam. Slim played guitar, vibes, and piano, and Slam played bass. Their biggest hit was Flatfoot Floogie with a Floy Floy, and they perform in the 1941 movie Hell's a Poppin'. The hipster jive and scat syllable nonsense language that Gaylord invented in the 1930s, he published as a dictionary called Vuorini. Before Slim and Slam was Victoria Spivey with Lonnie Johnson and her composition Dopehead Blues from OK 8531, October 28, 1927. He recorded each of them separately, but we started the set with Fred Van Epps and a banjo solo medley of Powder Rag and Dope from U.S. Everlasting Cylinder No. 1398, made in 1912. Powder Rag was written by Charles L. Johnson in 1908, and Dope, described as a ragtime novelette, by W.C. Pola under the pseudonym W.C. Powell. The Rapidly Rotating Records request line is now open. In addition to cards or letters, email or posts to our Facebook page or website, you can also now call to make requests for a particular song, artist, or segment topic, leave feedback about the show, ask questions or comment on the music, or just to say hi to let me know you're out there listening. The number is easy to remember. It's 1-234-PLAY-78s. That's 1-234-PLAY-78s. Or for the alphabetically challenged, 1-234-752-9787. It's available 24/7, but I'll do my best to personally answer your call. That's 1-234-PLAY-78s. Yesterday, December 7th, marked the birth in 1879 in Czechoslovakia of composer Rudolf Frimmel. He attended the Prague Conservatory and studied piano with composer Antonín Dvořák. While in his 20s, Frimmel toured throughout Europe and the United States as a concert pianist with violinist Jan Kubelik. Soon after his last American tour in 1906, Frimmel moved to New York City, where he contributed his compositions to stage productions. In 1912, he was the composer for the Broadway musical The Firefly, and through the early 1930s worked on more than a dozen other scores. In 1934, Frimmel moved to Hollywood, where he worked on more than a dozen film musicals. Rudolf Frimmel was a 1914 charter member of ASCAP and died in Hollywood, California on November 12, 1972. While Frimmel gets sole credit on more than half of his compositions, he also collaborated with lyricists including Otto Harbach, P.G. Woodhouse, Oscar Hammerstein II, Clifford Gray, and Harold Atteridge. Hits from the Frimmel catalog include Katinka, Allah's Holiday, Rose Marie, Song of the Vagabonds, and these.
Thank you. live in a palace or two. We'll have no war and no battles because of dear. You'll be the one who'll make laws, dear. So come to our kingdom, our dear wedding kingdom, and I will rule with you.
Thank you. Marvel, Marvel, your eyes are daring me and thrilling me too. Every smile invites me all the while, with every look surprising, tantalizing, whispering will wake me, come and take me, Marvel, Marvel. Forever I shall stay beneath your spell. I'll be my whole life through adoring you, Marvel.
Austin Young with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra singing about AT&T, the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, with Ma Bell from the Broadway musical The Three Musketeers. There are two other Broadway shows titled The Three Musketeers, but the one with music by Rudolph Frimmel and lyrics by Clifford Gray opened at the Lyric Theater on March 13, 1928, and ran for 318 performances. The song Ma Bell is sung by Aramis in the second act of the show. This commercial recording is on Victor 21315 and was recorded in Liederkranz Hall the day after the show opened. Before that, pianist Lee Sims with Indian Love Call from the show Rose Marie, which opened at the Imperial Theater on September 2, 1924, and ran for a whopping 557 performances. The recording we heard is on Brunswick 3799, made in December of 1927. I last played it in 2013 by Roger Wolf Kahn, but we began our little tribute to Rudolph Frimmel with Harry Reeser's Syncopators and Gladys Rice and Tom Stack singing We'll Have a Kingdom on Columbia 803-D, recorded the very same day as the Kahn version on Victor, November 4th, 1926. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.